Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Hummel Insurance, your Western Iowa Mutual Insurance Association agent in Oakland. Well, travel conditions in western and northeastern Iowa continue to improve as the storm moves out of the state. The National Weather Service forecast includes blustery northwest winds of 15 to 30 miles per hour through this afternoon, which will result in some blowing and drifting of snow. The Iowa DOT's 511 system is currently reporting roads in Correctionville, Denison, and Ida Grove areas are now open, and roads in western and northeastern Iowa still are partially to completely snow covered. The DOT reminds the public that sharing the roadways with slow-moving snow removal equipment requires drivers to exercise extra precautions. Now, if you do plan on traveling today as the road conditions improve, make sure to have a winter survival kit or emergency supplies stowed in your vehicle with sufficient resources for all your passengers, and also carry a mobile phone, but use it for emergency use only if you should become stranded. Don't talk, take videos and such while driving, according to the DOT, some helpful tips for you. And you should continue to exercise caution when traveling, as the pavement can quickly go from wet to icy due to snow blowing across the roadways. Those east-west roadways are particularly vulnerable. And taking a look at some of the snowfall amounts that have been reported as of 7 a.m. today, they varied quite a bit across western Iowa from the late winter storm. Figures include 11 inches reported over the past 24 hours at Fort Dodge, 9 inches at Humboldt and Pomeroy, 8 inches at Rockwell City and Webster City, 7.5 inches at Clear Lake, all the way down to 4 inches in Ames and 2.1 inches in Des Moines. Here in Atlantic, we picked up 5 inches of snowfall, which melted into 4/10 of an inch of precipitation. And, of course, as we've been announcing all morning long, several school districts are closed for today, while other districts, including Lewis Central and Council Bluffs, are starting a couple of hours late. News time is 9:02.
To be successful in the agricultural market these days, you need the best equipment, the highest quality seed, and a relentless work ethic. With so much riding on the bottom line, you can't afford to have anything but Midwest's premier crop protection. When only the best will do, look to the professionals at Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company of Iowa. They have protected America's farmers since 1893 with a combination of financial strength, long-term stability, and service. Put your trust in Hummel Insurance Services, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Call Hummel Insurance at 800-482-6426 in Oakland today. Farmers Mutual Hail and Hummel Insurance Services are equal opportunity providers. Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company of Iowa has been protecting America's farmers since 1893. That's a lot of storms, a lot of settled claims, and a lot of satisfied customers. More than four generations of farmers have trusted Farmers Mutual Hail to protect their investment, making them one of the most respected leaders in the crop insurance industry. For stability, service, and satisfaction, look for the cloud and Hummel Insurance Services, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Contact Hummel Insurance in Oakland at 800-482-6426 today. Farmers Mutual Hail and Hummel Insurance Services are equal opportunity providers.
Well, Montgomery County Family YMCA in Red Oak has announced that it's received a $6,467 Quality of Life grant from the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. The grant will be used toward the first phase of an extensive project to improve indoor swimming pool accessibility with an aquatics chairlift to enable individuals with special needs to independently enter and exit the Montgomery County YMCA's pool. Nick Zimmer, executive director of the Montgomery County Family YMCA, said that without the grant, the project would not have been possible. The award was one of 76 grants, totaling almost $427,000, awarded by the Reeve Foundation to nonprofit organizations nationwide that provide more opportunities, access, and daily quality of life for individuals living with paralysis, their families, and caregivers. The foundation was created by the late Dana Reeve and has awarded 2,131 grants, totaling more than $16 million since 1999. Officials of the Des Moines Register on Sunday released more details on the 2013 Ragbri route, including those cities which the bicyclists will roll through but not stay overnight. As mentioned earlier, the throngs of bicyclists begin Sunday, July 21st, by dipping their wheels in the Missouri River at Council Bluffs. From there, they'll travel through the unincorporated town of Weston and then on to Underwood, Neola, Minden, Shelby, and Tennant. The first day's leg of the journey ends with an overnight stay in Harlan. When the bikers roll out the following Monday morning on their way to Perry, they'll pass through Kimbleton and Hamlin. Between Harlan and Kimbleton, the bicyclists have a chance to make a swing through Elkhorn as part of the Karras Loop, which takes them from Highway 44 down M47 to County Road F58 and back up to Highway 44. The Karras Loop was named for Ragbri co-founder John Karras. And then it's on to Guthrie Center, Springbrook State Park, and Yale before the riders roll into Dallas County. The journey ends on Saturday, July 27th, at the Mississippi River in Lee County near Fort Madison. The route is just under 407 miles long and the 15th flattest ragbri in history. With a second year of drought likely, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will soon be starting work on sandbars on the very low Missouri River. Ruth Bensinger, an environmental resource specialist with the Corps' Omaha office, said they won't be building any new sandbars this year as habitat for two types of endangered birds.
We're looking at vegetation removal and control methods. And not on all of the sandbars. We have like a sandbar selection where, you know, we look at what sandbars have been created on the system and see which ones would be preferable as in the way of suitable habitat for the least tern and the piping plover.
The Corps is assembling a plan that will dictate sandbar and habitat work on the river for 2013 through 2017, and the sandbars are evaluated frequently.
Every year they're going to change. You know, some of them are going to accrete, some of them are going to erode. Some that we look at now as being suitable habitat may not be used by the birds. So, we'll, you know, every year we'll collect data and we'll look to see where they're nesting at.
After the floods of 2011 receded, many sandbars were left behind in the river channel on the Missouri, and Bensinger says they want to work on more than bird habitat.
We're going to keep as much as we possibly can, but at the same time, we also have cottonwood that is regenerating on some of the sandbars. So, and cottonwoods are needed up in, especially up in the upper Missouri River there, as our more mature trees, once they start dying off, we're not replacing them as fast as we're losing them.
The past 2 years have been challenging. Record flooding on the Missouri in 2011 caused hundreds of millions of dollars in damage to homes, businesses, farmland, and infrastructure in eastern Nebraska, western Iowa, and northwest Missouri. Last year, river levels were at near record lows due to the prolonged drought. A house fire in Atlantic Sunday afternoon appears to have been caused by an overheated charging cell phone. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese told us that the house at 409 Poplar Street was owned by Ryan Paul, but he recently had sold it. The house was slated to be demolished. McNeese said that Paul and a female companion were in the process of moving their belongings out of the home and had stopped for a brief nap when they woke up to find their bedding on fire. The couple escaped the home with only minor injuries, but most of their belongings were lost to the flames. Atlantic Fire arrived on the scene around 12:30 p.m. Sunday, with flames coming out of the shingles of the structure when authorities first arrived. The firefighters punched out the glass on the second-story window facing Poplar Street, and thick gray-black smoke came pouring out. The fire was declared under control by around 1:50 p.m. An investigation determined that a cell phone, which had been plugged into a portable charger that's designed to serve multiple purposes, like jump-starting car batteries and providing power to other portable devices, well, that cell phone battery likely overheated and then exploded. All utilities to the home had been shut off, according to McNeese, so that ruled out any electrical or gas-related cause. He said the fact that a cell phone battery can overheat and explode is a good reason that people should not keep those devices on or near their beds or other flammable materials. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on Sunday of 26-year-old Megan Reynolds of Clarinda. Reynolds was taken into custody on a warrant for unlawful possession of a prescription drug. She was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. Sioux City is considering a proposal to have fewer polling places for voting in an effort to save money. The Sioux City Council will discuss the proposal today that would cut polling precincts down from 28 to at least 4 or 6. The plan would save the city $5,000 per election. The Sioux City Journal reports the plan would allow registered voters to go to any voting location. Supporters say the popularity of early and absentee voting means that there will be a limited impact. Others say the plan prevents elderly and disabled voters from voting. They also say it affects voters in low-income neighborhoods. The council will not vote on the issue today. Woodbury County Election Commissioner Pat Gill will make the final call on the number of polling places. And a Spencer woman has been hospitalized after a fire at her home in northwest Iowa. Authorities say the blaze was reported just after 6:30 a.m. on Saturday. The occupant, Carol Ann Fullerton, was taken to the Spencer Hospital for observation of possible smoke inhalation. Investigators say the fire began in a bathroom, but they haven't determined the cause. Damage to the building and contents was estimated at $60,000. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, a Delta Airlines jet has veered off the runway at the William P. Hobby Airport in Houston, Texas. Airport spokeswoman Darian Ward said nobody was hurt in the incident that occurred this morning as the plane was preparing to depart for Atlanta. Ward said the plane, carrying about 70 passengers, somehow veered off the runway. Images from the scene show the jet's front gear in the grass. He didn't immediately provide the plane's number, and she says that the incident didn't affect other arriving or departing flights. Two U.S. troops and two Afghan policemen have been killed in an insider attack in eastern Afghanistan. Officials say the Afghan police officer opened fire on U.S. and Afghan forces at a police headquarters, sparking a shootout that also left the attacker dead. Outside of Kabul, meanwhile, U.S. troops fired on a truck approaching their military convoy, killing two Afghan men inside. A suicide bomber has driven a car packed with explosives into a police station in northern Iraq. Police say the attack killed five people and wounded 36 others, including students from a nearby school. Militants also launched a wave of attacks in Baghdad that killed six people. The cardinals who will elect the next pope have decided to cut short their last day of informal discussions before starting their conclave tomorrow. That means some of the cardinals didn't get a chance to speak today and others shortened their comments. There are indications that plenty of questions remain about the state of the church and the best man to lead it. And a court spokesman in Detroit said the jurors have reached a verdict in the corruption trial of former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick after 14 days of deliberations. Kilpatrick is charged with turning the mayor's office into a cash machine by collecting kickbacks and bribes from people who wanted city business. He's also charged with looting a nonprofit fund that he helped to create to help distressed residents. News time is 9:11.
To be successful in the agricultural market these days, you need the best equipment, the highest quality seed, and a relentless work ethic. With so much riding on the bottom line, you can't afford to have anything but Midwest's premier crop protection. When only the best will do, look to the professionals at Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company of Iowa. They have protected America's farmers since 1893 with a combination of financial strength, long-term stability, and service. Put your trust in Hummel Insurance Services, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Call Hummel Insurance at 800-482-6426 in Oakland today. Farmers Mutual Hail and Hummel Insurance Services are equal opportunity providers. Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company of Iowa has been protecting America's farmers since 1893. That's a lot of storms, a lot of settled claims, and a lot of satisfied customers. More than four generations of farmers have trusted Farmers Mutual Hail to protect their investment, making them one of the most respected leaders in the crop insurance industry. For stability, service, and satisfaction, look for the cloud and Hummel Insurance Services, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Contact Hummel Insurance in Oakland at 800-482-6426 today. Farmers Mutual Hail and Hummel Insurance Services are equal opportunity providers.
And the funeral announcements. Beverly Kunkel, age 84, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Beverly Kunkel will be today at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Donald Harrison, age 79, of Stewart and formerly of Greenfield, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Don Harrison will be today at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Annabelle Peterson, age 89, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Annabelle Peterson will be today at 11 o'clock at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Ray Lingle, age 84, of Manila, died Wednesday at the Manila Manor. A funeral service for Ray Lingle will be today at 2 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila is in charge of the arrangements. Scott Shook, age 42, of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday at the Taylor House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Scott Shook will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Guthrie Center High School Gymnasium in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Robert Bobby Tibkin, age 59, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Bobby Tibkin will be held on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Dwayne Jensen of Marion and formerly of Atlantic died Thursday. Graveside services for Dwayne Jensen will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at the Anita United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. And Lauren King, age 100, of Atlantic, died Sunday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Lauren King are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by Hummel Insurance. For all of your insurance needs, give Craig and the gang a call today at the Hummel Insurance Agency in Oakland,